Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, immediacy of faith. Immediacy is the state, the condition, or the quality of being immediate. You may be seated. Living in the now. So many people are living in the past. So many people are living in the future, and neither one of those will produce anything in your life. It's only the life that you live in the now that is productive. Faith is the currency of heaven, some people like to say, but that's not quite correct. Because heaven needs no currency. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God on this earth. That's how you receive from the Lord, is your faith now in God's kingdom. You can talk about what used to be and what's going to be, and it's not very effectual. Used to have money, going to have money, try that at McDonald's. Go in and say, I don't have any money, but I used to have some. I'm going to have some later. In the meanwhile, I'd like a Big Mac. That doesn't work at McDonald's, and it doesn't work anywhere. It's not what you used to have or what you're going to have. When the, what was that called? The USFL, I think it was, the football league that started years ago in competition with the NFL, and it was fledgling, and it foundered and did not make it. I was a friend of one of the owners, and so I would sit in the box at the USFL games, and I would pray before the game started. His wife was a strong Christian. It was fun, and a lot of those players came to our church here. They came in from all over the United States and was on that team and were in our church here. And it was a fun time, but it didn't last too long because the players didn't get paid very long. The owner ran him, and he had millions of dollars, but it takes a lot of money to start a football league and to start a football team. He had a huge ranch down here in South Texas, but I knew him through all of this period of time, and I knew him when we went out to eat and he didn't have a credit card. They had actually taken his credit cards, and he had been a multimillionaire. They weren't concerned with what he used to have and what he used to be. They were only concerned with what he was right now. Faith is a lot like that. You can't live on last Sunday's faith. It's what you have today. The Bible declares in Ecclesiastes 10:19 that money answereth all things. Since we're talking about the currency of God's kingdom, we can equate it to money and show you how money works. I love the story that Jesse Duplantis tells about the great hurricane they had in New Orleans. Don't ask me which one. They have one every week, and so I'm not sure which one it was. But anyway, they closed everything down. New Orleans is going underwater. It's the worst one they've ever had. You can't get out. The airport is closed. And Jesse went down there. He has a hangar at the New Orleans airport. He went down to get his plane, and they said, Jesse said, the airport is closed by federal law. No planes are going out of this airport today. Jesse said, I took a briefcase. It was full of money, flipped it open and said, boys, get you some and tell me which runway I'm using. They said, Mr. Jesse, you're on runway 1. So they reached in and got handfuls of money. Law or no law, he left New Orleans on his private jet. Money answereth all things. It's a terrible truth in this world that we live in. People are dying of COVID because they simply can't expect and experience the best medical truth while others are breezing through it. That's not always the case, but it has been the case in some cases. Money answereth all things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith. In the kingdom of God, faith answereth all things. God is, it's not God was, or God will be. The Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But it doesn't stop there. It said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not that he was, or he will be. He must believe that he is, and that he is, not will be, or has been, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeking him. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about tomorrow, because it's never tomorrow, it's always today. You ain't never lived in tomorrow, and you ain't never going to live in tomorrow. It's always today. And so God, through Christ, is telling us that our faith has to exist in the now. Faith, now faith is, not later, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We cannot live on yesterday's or tomorrow's faith. Hesitancy, that means hesitation, indecision, disinclination, is the Achilles heel of faith. It's what kills faith, is just being hesitant and hesitancy and saying, well, later on. You see, Martha, when her brother Lazarus died, had tremendous faith, except her faith was in the past and her faith was in the future, but she had no faith for the future. We don't hear about her making a bed up or preparing a bedroom or preparing a dinner for her brother Lazarus because he was going to come back. She had given in. When she came to Christ, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you'd have been here, it wouldn't have happened. She had tremendous faith for the past. Jesus said, now their brother will rise again. And Martha has faith now for the future. She said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection, but she had no fear, no faith for the immediate situation that she was in. She was not preparing anything for Lazarus. It was such an astounding miracle. They had to be instructed to loose him and let him go. They were going to let him lay there all day, all week, I guess, in those grave clothes. But Jesus said, turn him loose and let him go. When you see Jesus working at the great multitude of people that was at Bethesda, you see that there was a great multitude of people there, and they had faith that someday they were going to be healed, just not today. For an angel went down at a certain season. All of their faith was in the future. Out of all that great multitude of people, there was only one man that had faith for today. When I started this church 46 years ago, I had one of my best friends at the time, was an extremely great preacher, extremely talented man. He and I made sure we were going to start our churches on the same day. He was up north of here in another state. And so we started, and I called him, and I said, brother, we had 6 people today. We're starting. How many did you have? He said, brother Steve, we decided to put it off a while. He said, do you know what interest rates are today? And I said, well, I'm not sure. He told me what they were. He said, you know how much gasoline costs today? He told me the price of gasoline. He said, I just don't think it's the right time. He is now in heaven. 46 years have passed. He pastored little churches all over the Midwest, but he never started that dream church because he just never had faith for now. His faith was in the high prices of gasoline and the terrible surcharge of interest, but he didn't have faith that God was ever present, that God is right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith is. It's looking at the circumstances and saying the circumstances do not affect me because I believe in a now God. I've got now faith. My friend that is going to start that church failed to do what he wanted to do with his life. He died without his dream being complete simply because he did not have now faith. His faith was all in the future. When we study the life of Peter, I enjoy it very much. I love the writings of the Apostle Paul and the profound truths that he expounds. But I identify with Peter because he was just so normal. He was just like the guy down at the gas station or the truck driver, you know, or your brother-in-law. He was just a natural guy. He was a fisherman. He was rough. He was unhewed. He was not very well educated. They said he was ignorant and unlearned. But yet God used him miraculously. But when you do a character study on him, one of the things that you would say most of all about Peter was he was impetuous. Impetuous. That means pertaining or characterized by sudden or rash actions or emotion. Peter was always there. When all the other disciples were silent, Peter would raise his hand and say, I've got the answer, right or wrong. It was revealed that impetuous attitude that he had and personality was revealed in his swearing to die with Christ. When Jesus began to speak into the future about what was going to happen and everybody would desert him, Peter said, not me. I'll die with you. They cannot separate me. That was just his impetuous nature to speak out. It's always about now with him. And Jesus said, no, you will deny me too. No, I will never deny you. Yes, you will. He said, before the cock crows, you will deny me. And sure enough, we hear the rooster crowing and we hear Peter cursing and denying Christ. Doesn't seem like much of a great person at all. Doesn't seem like somebody that God would select as a disciple or as an apostle. But yet Jesus Christ pointed his finger at him and said, you are going to be chief among my disciples. Why was that? Because Peter had this one ability. He was impetuous. It was always, let's do it now. When I first started the church, I had a man who was very well educated. He had gone to Russia and studied. He had tremendous degrees, and he knew a lot about Russian history. He knew a lot about urban development. He just had a lot of education. And I used to, when I was a young preacher, I used to say consistently, I'd say, let's do something, even if it's wrong. That would just aggravate him so much. Don't ever say that again. I'd say it again. Let's do something, even if it was wrong. Well, we didn't have much money when we were started, and we didn't have much resources, but I was always saying, let's just do something. Let's just do something. That's the way Peter was. It wasn't always right, but he was always saying, let's do something. Something about that attracted the attention of Jesus Christ, and he called him to be a great disciple. And even after the fact that he had denied Christ, he had failed Christ, Jesus Christ harnessed the personality of this man to form a great man of faith. When he needed an immediate voice at Pentecost, when the church was first started, that's who he chose, Peter, to give the keynote address. When he needed somebody to be a paradigm miracle of the gate beautiful to show the church what the church is supposed to be, and they kept walking by there. A lot of people had walked by that man that had been lame from his mother's womb, but it was Peter that said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And the man stood up and went walking and leaping and praising God. And Jesus was saying, that's what I need. I need somebody that's got now faith. Peter might be a little rough on the edges, but he's always believing for now. God wants us to believe for now. When God was going to open up the kingdom to the household of Cornelius, it was Peter that he chose. And those Jews sat there judging Cornelius and this household and disqualifying them because of race. But it was Peter would say, God is no respecter of persons. This could happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Now is the time. And the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. He had now faith. My question to you, is your faith in the past? Is your faith in the future? Or do you believe that God is in this building on a Sunday morning? Do you believe that God can roll back the scroll of time and insert his hand into your life today and produce a miracle that will astound all the unbelievers and all of your kinfolks? I believe that God is in this building right now. I believe that God can work a miracle. I believe that someone's got a pain can be healed today in Jesus' name. I believe somebody that needs a miracle can get that miracle today, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter revealed that secret they had in him when he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is always ready to reveal himself, and Peter knew that. Indecision and procrastination will rob man of every promise that God has given to the human family. Well, I believe God can. I just don't believe he will. I believe God will, just not now. Those people march through life totally bankrupt of spiritual input in their life by a God that has sovereign power. While somebody that says God is a rewarder, God will do it now. I will not limit God by time. God is a God that holds all time in His hand. I believe that God is a healer now. Not will be, but He is a healer now. I believe that this is the day of visitation. So many people are living and saying good things are going to happen later. I believe they're happening right now. In Luke 19:44, "And shall lay them even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of the visitation." Some people just can't see the hand of God now. It's always past. It's always going to be. But those that receive great things of God recognize the day of visitation is now. He is a now God. God is here to work in your life on a Sunday morning in this September. It's not in the future. It's right now. God is in this house, and God is begging to you, realize that I am an ever-present God, that I am a now God, that this is the day of visitation. Jesus Christ, He warned us of the danger of hesitancy and realizing that it's always going to be later. Say not ye. I like it when Jesus says, don't say that. Jesus said, don't say there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. What's He talking about? 4 months signifies a season. It's the season of harvest from the time you sow to the time you reap. It is a given period of time. Jesus said, don't say that God is seasonal. Don't say that it takes 4 months from the time you sow to the time you reap. He said, don't say that. Say not. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and behold, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He said, don't say that God is limited to a time period or a season. Realize that harvest is always available. There's something for you to harvest today in your life. There'll be things for you to harvest this week. Don't err in procrastination and put it off and say, by and by it's going to be better. Living in the now, the harvest is right now. God wants to do something glorious in your life in this very service, in these next few moments. God's in this house, and God is breaking the bondage of procrastination and saying, I am a God of now. I am a God of now. The harvest is now. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is now. Do you know how many people have planned on getting saved that never made it to the altar, that never made it to the throne of grace? Someday I'm going to. I've talked to hundreds and maybe thousands of people in my life that intended to serve God someday, somewhere, sometime, just not now. But the Bible said, now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. The Lord is in this very building, and everything you need from God is available. This is the time to call on God. This is the time to pray to God. This is the time to worship Him. Even when it doesn't seem like it's convenient, the time is now. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Have you ever seen anybody under conviction to the point they've trembled? I've seen thousands of people at that position. Some come forward and some go backwards. Felix was at that very position. The Spirit of God came upon him as he heard Paul preach. But then he said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He simply couldn't operate in the now. He pushed it forward and said, later, but not now. That was his moment of salvation, and Felix never found another now. He missed his now. Your now is so important. Will you call upon the Lord while He may be found? Ladies and gentlemen, don't live in the future, because you'll never get there. there. Get up every day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be strong in the Lord today. I'm going to praise the Lord today. I'm going to take advantage of this day, not live in the future. I've watched in all my life people that live in the future that never have anything for now. But there is a rare quality in a few people that realize now is the moment. Striking while the fire is hot. Someday I'm going to be a praiser. No, I'm going to be a praiser today. Someday I'm going to have a prayer life. No, I'm going to have a prayer life now. Someday I'm going to go to church. No, I'm going to go to church now. Someday I'm going to give. I'm going to give now. Oh, I know so many people have told me, Pastor, when I become a millionaire, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. I can't tell you how many people that have told me that. Warren Inman never told me that, but he gives us a check every week. It might not be $1 million, but it built this church. Him and 1,000 other people built this church doing what they can, where they are, with what they've got right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this is your moment of opportunity. God wants you to rise to the occasion. You can't put it off. If you've ever decided you're going to be a prayer warrior, I say let it be today. If you say someday I'm going to praise God like they do, today is the day to break out of that. Where is your faith? My faith in a God is in a God that is right now. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a big today God. He's in this house right now. And when I need something, I ask God for it immediately. I woke up yesterday and I had the worst pain. I put my hands up. Becky was already gone. And I put my hands up in bed to praise the Lord. And when I did, something popped in my back. And I said, Jesus, I'm not going to fool with this back pain all day. Before I get out of this bed, I want you to heal me. And when I got up out of that bed, I never thought of it again. I never had a pain all day long. When I laid down at night, the pain came back. And I said, there you are, pain. I rebuke you again. You were not going to be present with me today. And you're not going to interrupt my sleep tonight. I rebuked it. And again, the pain was gone. Let me tell you, folks, I believe that Jesus is a now God. He wants to take care of you every minute of every hour of every day of every year right now. He wants to be your healer not once in a lifetime. He wants to be your healer every day. He wants to give you not bread for a year. He wants to give you bread for the day. Daily bread he talks about. And in the Bible, when they collected the manna, they were warned, don't collect manna for tomorrow, only collect the manna for today. God wants it to be fresh. And so I'm telling you, you've got to develop a life where God is ever present in your life. And your faith is not about tomorrow. Your faith is about right now. God, you're putting strength in my body. You're healing my body now. God, you're going to find some way to get some money to me today. God, you're going to take care of me today. I'm telling you, I walk with God in the present, and every day he is my God. He takes care of me every day. He encourages me every day. He blesses me every day. If his mercy is fresh every morning, his miracles are new every day. God is a now God, and he walks these aisles just like he walked the pool of Bethesda shore, saying, will you be made whole? And everybody there said, yes, we will someday. But one guy said, I will right now. And 38 years of pain and crippling sickness ended at that moment. He got up and picked up his bed and began to walk. And God is walking the aisles of this church, and he's not talking to those people that are not here. He's talking to you, and he's saying, will you be made whole today? I love whole. I love whole. That means healthy. That means physically healthy. That means mentally healthy. That means financially healthy. That means emotionally healthy. Will you be made whole today? Today, today. And it immediately requires, if you've got now faith, you have to do something immediately. Jesus always required they do something. Faith without works is dead. That means you have to work now. You have to do something now. do something you've never done before because you're manifesting your faith now, saying God is going to do something in my life today that is never done before. I'm going to have a new loaf of bread today. I'm going to have a new miracle today. I'm going to have new manna today. God is going to inspire me like I've never been inspired. God is going to encourage me like I've never been encouraged. God is going to heal me like I have never been healed. I'm going to have a miracle in my life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't listen to the gainsayer. You can't listen to people, religious or non-religious, that want to tell you that you've got to be reasonable. Faith is never reasonable. Faith is unreasonable. Faith is wild. Faith is like Peter. It's impetuous, saying God is able and he'll do it right now. Oh, I rejoice all the time when I drive down the freeway. And I think about it all the time. The doctor that said, you have acute diabetes. We will live to see your legs and your arms and your hands perhaps taken off. That's how bad your diabetes is. When I found me a new doctor, he was a Christian. He said, no, you don't have, you're borderline. You begin to be taken care of. Friend, when I look at what I test every once in a while, I only test about once a month. I tested the other day and my diabetes was 95. When that old doctor told me she tested, it was 500 and something. What's the difference? I serve a God that is immediate. I serve a God that is now. I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to be strong and not weak. I'm going to be an overcomer and not be overcome, because every day I taste and see the Lord is good. Not one time a day, Michael, but several times a day. I call upon the Lord. He infuses my body with strength. He gives my spirit new life and new joy. And when the devil comes in like a flood, I begin to call on the name of the Lord. And my now faith says my standard is higher than the wall of water, the flood that is coming against me. And the devil does every day. But God defeats the devil every day of my life because I'm living in now faith. And knowing that no matter what happens, my God is greater. I am an overcomer. I'm filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. He is a now God. God's in this building right now, and he's talking to you. Will you be made whole? Some of you can walk out of your sickness right now. Some of you have got bad reports from the doctor, but you can be healed in this building right now. Some of you have got bad financial reports, but God can open a door of financial blessing right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I adjure you to let your faith explode in this service. Not tomorrow night, not the next week, but right now. Say, I'm going to be healed today. Faith without works is dead. You got to do something. You got to praise God like you've never praised him. You got to get out of the aisle. You got to come to an altar. You got to shout. You got to dance. You got to do something to manifest that you have now faith. Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. God is greater than man's opinion and man's educational advice to you. God is greater than that. I've had bad advice all of my life, but one of my great characteristics is I can ignore bad advice. When somebody tells me I'm going to fail, I can just ignore them. When somebody tells me it's over, I can say it's just beginning. When a banker says, that's not going to work, I said, oh, yes, it will. God will turn it around. If you're in this building right now and you need spiritual deliverance, you need to be saved, you need to run to this altar and say, this is my day of salvation. Now is my salvation. If you need something in your life, you need to say, now is my harvest. Now is my miracle. God is more than able. Ladies and gentlemen, I know what it is to be broke. and I know what it is to have more money than I need. It's not because I'm smarter than most people. It's because my faith is in a now God, and He turns it all around for me. It's not because I'm smarter than the doctor. It's because my faith is in Almighty God. I have now faith, right now, every day. God's going to do it for me. If you're in this building and you're sick, I would challenge you to step out of your pew and walk to this altar.